Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome to worship on this, the third weekend of Advent. A reminder for everybody who is watching online or listening online, the bulletin for this service can be found on our website, chapelofthecross.org. Just click the resources tab and you will find a link to the bulletin there. And you may give your offering to the Lord and His church through the Give tab on the homepage of the website, or you could mail your offering in to the church office. I've got a number of announcements to share with you before we begin worship this day. Our last midweek Advent service is this upcoming Wednesday, the 16th of December at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to come to that. That service is also recorded and will be available online. A reminder that Mike and Jean Miller from Day 3 Seeds will lead our Bible class tomorrow, Sunday, sharing a presentation about the Widow Seed Project and other areas of Day 3 ministry. I ask you to come back and join them for that. 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning is when that presentation will start. If you wish, you may purchase one or more poinsettias to beautify the church this upcoming Christmas season. There's an announcement about that in your weekly today. The deadline, just so you're aware, of purchasing those plants is this Wednesday, the 16th of December. Once again, maybe you noticed as you came in tonight, we've got Christmas cards for our homebound members available for you to sign before you leave today. We'd like to get as many signatures and greetings on those cards as possible, and then we'll mail those out this week to our homebound members. So I encourage you to sign as many of those cards as you can. We really appreciate you doing that. I know they appreciate those greetings as well. Yesterday evening, we received word that our director of music, Ryan Meyer's mother, Kim, died in the Lord. I ask that you keep Ryan and his dad, Dave, and the rest of that family in your prayers, and pray especially for safety as he and Ann and the kids travel to Nebraska today and as they plan that funeral for the near future for Ryan's mom. And as many of you are aware, the Lord took home to heaven this past Monday, Pastor Norm Meyer. We certainly pray God's peace and comfort be given to Elsie and the rest of Pastor Meyer's family. Due to COVID concerns, a memorial service will take place, but that will take place at a later date, and we will certainly inform everybody when that is planned. Finally, our radio broadcast today on KFUO AM 850 is sponsored by Nancy and Marilee Couric in loving memory of their mother, Mary Couric, as they remember her birthday, which was on Christmas Day. God's blessings to you as we worship this day. We begin our worship by listening to our opening hymn on Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. For those using their hymnal at home, that's hymn number 344 in Lutheran Service Book.
Sick, thy healing hand.
We stand. Begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." Today, God calls us joyfully to prepare for the Lord's coming by repenting of our sin. Almighty and all-merciful God, we confess that we are sinners and that our sin separates us from you. We are captive to sin and cannot set ourselves free. We have not always held on to the good. We have not always avoided evil. We have not always lived joyfully or prayerfully. Forgive us our sins for Jesus' sake. Rejoice in God our Savior. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Advent candle burning bright through the night, shine your light of hope, telling people everywhere, soon the Savior comes, soon he will be here. People gathered and prepared in the night of the light of hope. Advent candle burning bright through the night, shine your light of peace, telling people everywhere, soon the Savior comes, soon he will be here. People gathered and prepared in the night with the light of peace. Advent candle burning bright, shine your light through the light of love, telling people everywhere, soon the Savior comes, soon he will be here. People gathered and prepare in the night with the light of love.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, true light of the world, abide with us that we may rejoice in your gracious presence, pray to you in every need, and give thanks for all your blessing. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this day is from Isaiah, the 61st chapter. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes a sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle is from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. St. Paul writes, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now see the light of morning, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, a child to us is born. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God, who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God, who comes to take away our sin. Wanderers in the wilderness, oh, hear a voice is crying, prepare the way, make straight the path, your King has come to die. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God, who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God, who comes to take away our sin. Son of God, Emmanuel, Son of Man, we praise you. Behold the Lamb, behold the Man, behold the Lamb, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God, who died and rose again. Behold the take away our sin.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we speak our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah the prophet gives an incredible description of the new beginning we have in Christ in today's Old Testament reading. It takes most of us back a decade or two, or five maybe. For me, it takes me back 25 years, back to a wedding day, when us guys were standing up in front in churches or chapels or waiting here in the front of a place like this. And back for you ladies, you're waiting in the back there behind those closed doors for that moment of anticipation, that moment of joy. That's what Isaiah talks about as he attempts to describe this joy that he feels as he catches this vision of the restoration of the people of God. Hear it again from a slightly different translation. "I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom in his wedding suit, or a bride with her jewels." All dressed up and waiting. But what clothes? Salvation and righteousness. And Isaiah sees this coming, and his joy It's just overwhelming. Christmas is getting kind of close. It's less than 2 weeks away. And if you haven't gotten the special people in your lives a little something by now, you might want to start thinking about that. One of the trends, or at least I've heard this, is to give people a clothing subscription. I truly, and I mean this, I truly do not know how that works. You know, they say that the subscriptions use recommendation algorithms and data science to personalize clothing items based on size and budget and style. But I tell you what, for me, when I go shopping for clothes, it takes time and it takes trying things on. And 95% of the stuff I try on, it either doesn't fit or doesn't feel good or doesn't look good on me. So I have no idea how a subscription service sending clothes to you that you haven't seen, that you haven't felt, that you haven't tried on, how that would actually work. I think I'd send almost 100% of it back. But maybe the subscription service is better than you actually going out and buying clothes for somebody on your list. I mean, there's danger in buying the gift of clothes for somebody else. It's just not that easy unless you're told exactly, and I mean exactly, what to get. Because it's hard to find the right style. It's hard to find the right color. It's hard, certainly, to find the right size. But that does not happen with the clothes that God has given to us. God has given us some clothes, you know. He's given us clothes because of Christmas. That's what Isaiah says. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. Those clothes, they never go out of style. They never have to be exchanged. They always fit. And it sounds to me, when I read that, it sounds to me like Isaiah really liked his clothes, doesn't it? I mean, listen to him. From the depths of his soul, his words are just pure praise. He's overjoyed. I rejoice greatly in my Lord. I'm overwhelmed with joy. My soul rejoices in my God. He says, thank you, Lord, thank you. I love him. It's just what I wanted. It's just what I needed. God knows how to give good gifts. We are clothed with robes of righteousness, dressed in a garment of salvation. Maybe you never thought that the Bible talks about the clothing business. It does, all over the place. Do you know that Kohl's, JCPenney, Old Navy, Men's Warehouse, Macy's, every single clothing store that's in business today owes its thanks to just two people, Adam and Eve. It's the same thing for all fashion models, for clothing designers, for clothes manufacturers. Same for the people who sell school uniforms, who make ironing boards and hangers. Those who sell washing machines and make fabric softener. All those who sell sewing machines, they make buttons. I mean, all those people, they owe their business to the Garden of Eden. Because before Adam and Eve sinned, they were naked, the Bible says. And it was not a problem. I don't think they had winters in the Garden of Eden. They had no need for clothes before they sinned. But after they sinned, they couldn't get dressed quick enough. The Bible says that their eyes were opened and they realized that they were naked. And so they did what they did. They picked some leaves real quick and they sewed them together somehow and they made clothes. And then they hid because they knew they had done wrong. They knew they had sinned. So God had one rule. He says, don't eat from this one tree or you will surely die. But of course, that's the one thing they couldn't resist. And they fell for Satan's temptation and they fell headlong into sin. And God is walking in the cool of the day in that garden, as the Bible says, and Adam and Eve are hiding from him. And God says, why are you hiding from me? Adam says, I was afraid because I was naked. God says, who told you that? Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? And Adam answers God by blaming Eve, and Eve answers God by blaming the serpent. And so now there's punishment for Adam and for Eve and for the serpent and for all of humanity. And really, there's punishment for God, too. because God knew that he would have to send his one and only son into this now sinful world to save people from their sin. You know, by all accounts, Adam and Eve should have just died right there. He should have just wiped them off the earth, just started over. That's not how God operates. And that's not how God works. His response to them is a response of love, incredible love. I will send my son. I will send him to this world. He will live the way I want you to live. He will fulfill the law because I know that you cannot. He will die on a cross, and he will bring forgiveness for my people. And God says to Adam and Eve, now there's no longer a perfect garden for you. You have to leave now. But then there's some beautiful words in Genesis chapter 3. It says this, the Lord God made clothes from animal skin for the man and his wife, and he dressed them. So God kills an animal. For the first time in history, there's death. Blood is spilled. And that's innocent blood. That animal didn't commit any crime. That animal didn't deserve to die. And yet the animal dies so that the guilty might be covered. And then that God, the king of the universe, the maker of the seas and the stars and the mountains and the angels, the creator who is almighty and all-powerful, he's now making clothes. He's a tailor. And when he's done sewing up the clothes for Adam and Eve, the Bible says, he dressed them. Those fig leaves aren't going to do, Adam and Eve. He clothed them. You know, he didn't make the clothes and you kind of throw them at their feet and say, here, just get dressed and get out of here. No, he doesn't do that. He dressed them. He dressed them himself. Kind of like a mother dressing her little toddler. Or a father would zip up his preschooler. God dressed them. I mean, what do you think about a God like that? I mean, I think that's pretty incredible, don't you? That's love. And he does the same for us, you know. God has clothed us. He's clothed you. See it in Genesis. You hear it from Isaiah. There's no doubt about it. You have a God in the clothing business. You do. And he dresses us in some beautiful clothes, wedding garments, in fact. You know, we too eat our fair share of forbidden fruit. We pick a lot of it, don't we? And you know what we deserve because of our sin? Very often we say this in our prayer of confession at the beginning of our worship service. We say, we justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. That's what our sins deserve. And our good deeds can't cover us up. I mean, we can't clothe ourselves. So what does our God do? The same thing he did for our ancestors in the garden. He sheds innocent blood. He offers the life of his son. He doesn't put on us the skin of an animal, but he dresses us up in the robes of righteousness, the garments of salvation, which is his son, Jesus. Paul says in his letter to the Galatians, he says, all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. We don't dress ourselves. He dresses us. In Ephesians, Paul writes, you have been saved by grace through faith. And where do we get that faith from? Where do we get this believing from? By your power? By my power? No. It's a gift. It's a present. It's a gift from God. You believe because God has given you that present, and he's put that present right in your heart. He dresses us. He clothes us with garments of salvation and robes of righteousness. He has covered us. And how has he done that? Well, he's covered us in the waters of holy baptism. we are baptized into the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's given us the garments of salvation. Through Jesus' life and through his death and through his resurrection, the Lord dresses us. We are covered completely in the garments of his love. Now, being covered in the garments of his love and his robes of righteousness, the garments of salvation, that does not mean that we're perfect. We're not. It doesn't mean that we're sinless, because we're not. It doesn't mean that we're faultless. We are not faultless. What it means is that we're forgiven. What it means is that we're loved. What it means is that we're saved. Oh, God has given you some clothes. And not only has he given you the clothes, he's put them on you. God has dressed you. And what's your response to that? Like Isaiah, does it kind of make you want to delight in the Lord? To be overwhelmed with joy? Does it make you want to rejoice in your God? Does it put a smile on your face and a kind of a spring in your step? Knowing who you are, knowing how loved you are, does it kind of make you want to show off your clothes? Should. Absolutely. We can bear witness to the one who came to dress us. We can bear witness to that one who wraps us up in the robes of righteousness, who decks us out in the garments of salvation. We can go out there in our clothes of righteousness and catch the attention of everybody around so they too may come and they too can worship and they too can be dressed by him. You are a new creation in Christ, dressed in nothing but the best, dressed in Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for the prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, John did not seek the glory that belonged to Jesus, but gladly pointed to the Christ. Help us, we pray, that our lives and our words point to Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, from the beginning, the prophets spoke of what Jesus was to do to fulfill your saving will. Help us to welcome his coming and rejoice in his gift of salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, the temptations around us are great. Help us to remain steadfast in your word, faithful in your service, and bold in witness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for joy amid our struggles to be faithful. Lord God, we ask that you fill our hearts with the joy of your kingdom now and always. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our church, for church workers and missionaries, lay leaders, and each of us assembled here, that we may do all that you have called us to do and live to the praise of your glory. Bless especially the ministry of Mike and Jean Miller and Day 3 Seeds, as they work to feed the people of the world, both physically and spiritually. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are suffering from COVID-19, as well as those enduring other sicknesses, that God may give them grace and grant them healing in accordance with his gracious will. Today, we especially remember Jared, Camilla, and Anaya Cleveland. Heavenly Father, we ask that you give them grace and grant them healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, your word promises that those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Today there are those among us who are in tears due to the loss of a loved one. Make your presence known, especially to David Eggers and his family, as they mourn the death of David's cousin, Dean Cook, and to Ryan Meyer and his family upon the death of his mother, Kim, on Friday evening. Make your presence and your strength known to them, even as they mourn. We also pray for the family, the church family, and loved ones of Pastor Norm Meyer, who received the crown of everlasting life this past Monday. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for all the blessings given to his family, to his communities where he lived and worked, and to his church through Pastor Meyer's roles as husband, father, grandfather, and pastor, especially his 16 years of service as assisting pastor here at Chapel of the Cross. Give to his family your peace and your comfort. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us ever to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn together. Hark, a thrilling voice is sounding.